Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. In Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great selection of pre-owned inventory. All with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Great time for trade-ins, too. Great time for trade-ins. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
They snap it. 20 seconds left. Wilson throwing. Got a man wide open. It's Freddie Swain. Touchdown. A 32-yard strike. Russell Wilson's 33rd birthday. Wilson, all sorts of time, throws, and it is intercepted. Intercepted. Kendall Fuller will seal the game for Washington and maybe the season for Seattle.
On Russell Wilson's
Myers,
33rd birthday.
To his left, takes a hop. It's available, and Wilson's jumping up and down. Gavin Heislop.
Illegal formation on the kicking team.
Oh.
Since there was illegal recovery by the kicking team, we will enforce the 5-yard penalty at the previous spot and have another kickoff.
Oh, my goodness.
Please set the game clock to 14 seconds.
On Russell Wilson's 33rd birthday. Failure. All right. I'll tell you exactly when I turned the game off last night. I'll tell you exactly when I turned it off. It was a play that Washington threw to the 5-yard line. The running back, 41, whomever 41 is on the ground. And they said, he's on the ground, the play was already over. This is the National Freaking Football League. No, it's not. I said, this isn't college football. You got to be touched. Turned it off. We're done. I'm like, really? You got to be kidding me. That's a setback. I can't. I'm not going to watch this. I'm a harsh critic. But no offense, that's a basic. All right. The Eagles put together a sterling performance on Sunday. You okay?
I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah.
You'll feel better when Rube's on.
Oh, I will. I know. I look forward to that.
And because Rube's going to rip a new one.
Yeah, probably.
And you'll feel better because you like Venom.
Well, even now, with our next guest, I might feel a little bit better, too.
And that's Matt Leon from Philadelphia. Welcome back, sir.
Good to be with you.
All right, so the Eagles put together a performance to remember, I thought, on Sunday. Oh, my goodness. What kind of setback was that in a lot of ways?
Multiple fronts. I mean, the most immediate, it's a setback. I mean, the team's not very good. If you've watched them all year, they've improved. But overall, there's not a ton of talent there. But it hurts the playoff hopes. There was actually, you started to hear murmurs, could they win the division? Because Dallas has struggled. Dallas losing on Thanksgiving. You thought, well, if the Eagles can beat a terrible Giants team, all of a sudden there's some pressure on Dallas, and they still get to play the Cowboys again at the end of the year. And, you know, a lot of that talk's gone away. It raised more questions about Jalen Hurts and whether he's the guy. Is it fair, unfair to put, you know, to have the needle swinging so wildly on the long-term viability of a player game by game? No. But he was not good. He kept throwing the ball to the other team, and the coaching wasn't good. And this is not like the Giants went out and played a really good game.
No, exactly.
The Giants basically just didn't wet their pants, and Eagles gave it to them. You know, the Giants, I think they were only 25% on third down. They did nothing special, but they let the Eagles immolate. And, you know, it was a bad loss on multiple fronts. There's very little you look at that game and you can kind of take out of and say, well, we can build on this, or, you know, this was a good idea. Or it, you know, it's one of those, I think you watch the film and you throw it away.
I mean, I think I said to somebody yesterday, I'm watching Daniel Jones walk off the field and he really played poorly. I said, and that's the winning quarterback?
Yeah. But you know what? He didn't hand it to the other team. And, you know, I don't, you know, the Eagles, they turned over four times. They didn't force any turnovers. And when you're minus four, the winning percentage is probably something like, what, 8%, you know, of games that you can win. And it was just, you know, not all turnovers are created equal. There was one end of the first half. Eagles are driving, and only a handful of seconds left, and they're in the red zone. And Jalen Hurts, you know, tries to force the ball into the end zone, you know, whereas you just throw it away. If it's not there, throw it away, kick the field goal, take the points. Like, if you're down 28-0, yeah, maybe then you force it and try to score a touchdown. But at that point, what was it, 10-0, 7, you know, 7-0? It was a, you know, you kick the field goal, and he tries to force the issue, and just a horrific turnover. And this was after on that same drive, and a touchdown had gotten called back because of a penalty. You know, it was just, it was bad. End of the game. Not the last possession, but the second to the last possession. Eagles are driving, even though they played terrible. You think maybe they could steal this one.
Right.
Boston Scott, who had a nice game, fumbles it. They get the ball back because the Giants just basically fell down for three plays.
Yeah.
And they hit Jalen Reagor on 4th and 10 in the hands at the goal line, and he drops it. I mean, you know, the Giants worked so hard to just say, oh, go ahead, take it. You know, we're not very good. We're not going to do anything to really stand in your way. And the Eagles just kept falling into the ditch. So, you know, this was a game. There are certain games where you say that team won the game much more than the other team lost
right.
it. Like, they played well. They deserved it.
Yep.
This is the complete polar opposite. This was the Eagles lost this game. The Eagles proactively destroyed themselves with mistakes and terrible play calling. You know, it was bad.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's no question. I mean, you feel like the Giants were there, and typical Giants, they kept making losing plays and got away with it. Now they're going to go back to play the Jets. And guess what? They won last week. And their quarterback got in there. So what about this one now? If they don't get this one, because this was supposed to be the easy stretch right here. They don't get this one, how deep a hole are they in?
Oh, they're in a real deep hole. That being said, I'd be very surprised if they're not much sharper this Sunday. I would just be very surprised. Now, that being said, sounds like Jalen Hurts is dealing with an ankle issue. You know, I think he'll play, but chance he doesn't. You know, Gardner Minshew, we haven't seen him in an Eagles uniform. He's the backup quarterback. What would that look like? I don't know. they would have to once again play, you know, an F-minus game, and if they do that for a second straight week, then there are much bigger problems than, like, not making the playoffs. You know, if you lay an egg like this and you don't bounce back the next week against another inferior opponent, that would be really alarming.
I know the Eagles' defense only gave up the 13 points. How do you evaluate how well they're playing?
You know, this is a discussion I have with a lot of people because, like, specifically that Giants game. They only gave up 13 points. Absolutely true. They only gave up whatever it was, 250 yards. You know, but they're playing against an atrocious offensive line, and the only sack they got was at the end of the game when Daniel Jones basically gave himself up to stay in bounds and keep the clock running or force the Eagles to use a timeout. They didn't force a turnover, you know, against Daniel Jones, who's a turnover machine against most teams. My big problem with this Eagles defense, and it's been the problem, it's not just, you know, we've talked about Jonathan Gannon's scheme and all, but the last few, basically since the Super Bowl, you know, so we're talking like 3-4 years, for the most part, and it's gotten better the last few weeks, and then it reverted in this Giants game, they don't make a lot of plays that change games.
Right.
And like I said, the Saints game, you had Darius Slay return for a touchdown. He's had a couple of touchdowns. During that winning streak, when they were running the ball, you saw the defense make more game-changing plays. But this was a reverse to what we saw early in the season where, you know, maybe the yardage numbers are pretty good and, you know, they played good enough to win, but they didn't do anything to win the game. Right. And so that's what I would say. I would probably give the defense a C because, yes, they held the Giants in check. You should be able to win just about every game when you only give up 13 points. But that being said, when you're the game when the offense struggles and you're playing you're not playing a good offense. You're playing an offense that has shown that it can fall apart. You need to force the issue and make some plays to kind of grab that game, and they did not do that.
Right. So I've got to ask you, the deadline's coming up for Major League Baseball. There are some big contracts being signed. Do you see any activity by the Phillies before they lock this thing down?
I don't know. I think they're going to make moves, and it'll be interesting to see if they're waiting until afterwards. A lot of names are going off the board, but you've heard them linked to Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber. They need a lot. They have a very top-heavy roster that, you know, the top 5-6 players just about any team would want, but that drop-off from, like, 6 to 10 is enormous, and that drop-off from 20 to 25 is off the charts.
Right.
So I think we'll see them make several moves, but the timing is going to be interesting because of the labor strife, and who knows what it's going to look like on the other side. And do you want to make contracts in one universe that might have to be honored in another? And that's, I don't know the answer to that.
Right. Nobody does. Sixers, very quickly, your thoughts on them?
I think they'll be fine once they get back to full strength and everybody back, COVID ran pretty rampant through the team. And it's going to take a while, I think, to get everybody back to full strength and mid-season form. But I think they'll be fine even without Ben Simmons, which, you know, I don't think he's going to play with them at all this year. I think, you know, they can – I think it's a lost cause at this point.
What a waste. I mean, really, think of it. What a waste.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I think one of the big problems with him, and I don't know who it is, but he's got bad people in his ear. I think he's been getting bad advice for years, and it's kind of come to a head here.
You know what? I think that that is something where, and he's not the only one. I've been around individuals where you know they're getting bad advice from somebody or individuals, and for some reason they trust them. And I've seen it happen over and over again. Like, why are you trusting these people? Use common sense, and that it doesn't happen.
Now, and I think also that's mixed. I think Ben Simmons has a very healthy ego, doesn't like to be told he's wrong or told to change things, and that's a bad combination in a situation like this.
My friend, thank you so much. Hope you feel better.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Take care.
I can still maybe, if my leg gets good enough, maybe click off a tournament here or there. But as far as climbing the mountain, get all the way to the top, I don't think that's a realistic expectation of me, but I think something that is realistic is playing the tour one day, never full-time ever again.
Yeah, that was Tiger Woods during a press conference today. First time since the major car accident happened in California. And I guess at this point, yeah, he's right. If he plays again, great. If not, at least for me, it is what it is. Nothing what he said was surprising, but to me it kind of sounded rehearsed a little bit. And that's just how Tiger's been. So we'll see how that happens there with that. It is a Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here. Steve soon will be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, all sorts of pre-owned inventory. Great service department, excellent sales staff. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Mad at the Eagles. You're mad at Jalen Hurts. You're mad at Nick Sirianni. You're mad at Brian Kelly. You're mad at Notre Dame.
I'm more mad at Nick Sirianni than I am at Jalen. I think Jalen is rightfully taking heat, but I think a little too much heat at times. Because I think you're allowed to have a bad game. He had a very, very bad game. But in the end, he still gave them a chance to win. If Boston Scott can hang on to the football, and if Jalen Reagor can actually catch a pass, then we're not having as deep a conversation about Jalen Hurts as we are now. But regardless,
Let's be honest about it. They scored one touchdown. He threw three interceptions.
Okay, oh, yeah.
So
no, I mean...
The heck with chances to win. To me, chances to win, like, hey, you know, I can't really blame the guy. They're at 34-30, and he's driving down the field. You know, on the day where you scored 30 points, and you're driving down, and all of a sudden it didn't work out at the end. When you score seven and throw three picks, nah, that's not the same category. Against a team that's not very good. That's not the same category. You are mad at Nick Sirianni. You're mad at Jalen Hurts. You're mad at Jalen Reagor. You're mad at Boston Scott. You're mad at Brian Kelly. You're mad at Notre Dame. You're mad at LSU.
Oh, I don't care about LSU. I care less about them.
I'm just, there's a long list here.
I'll probably be mad at the College Football Playoff Committee tonight and into tomorrow, but we'll see how that goes.
Tonight, so far we've hit every single one of them correctly. Every single week the order's been correct, okay? So let's see if we can keep the streak going. Tonight will be one Georgia. I think two will be Michigan. Three will be Cincinnati. Four will be Alabama. Now, I think that five should be Oklahoma State, but I think it will be Notre Dame and Oklahoma State sixth. Even though I think Oklahoma State should be the team that's five. Let's start with a prerequisite. They actually have a head coach.
I get it, but at the same time, the players who have gone into the team's gone into this point, I don't think that should be penalized against them, that they don't have a head coach. It's not their fault that Brian Kelly was a sleazebag and decided to leave for LSU.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm sorry. You don't play the 13th game and you don't have a head coach. I'm sorry.
If you want to say about the 13th game, fine, even though I still disagree with that. But the head coach thing, I don't think
should... How can you disagree with it? They choose to not play a 13th game. They choose not to be in a conference. So guess what? Your choices have consequences. You chose not to play in a conference. Sorry, but that was your choice. That's not our choice. That's yours.
I do agree they need to be in a conference.
What makes you the special category team?
I just think that they have been better recently than Oklahoma State. I think they're a better team than Oklahoma State, first off, if we're going to go by the eye test thing.
I just watched Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma.
But Oklahoma's not a great team either. Nobody in the Big 12, I think, is better than Notre Dame.
After Cincinnati, what's the second best win you have?
Fair point. But is Oklahoma State and Oklahoma have the same thing? I don't necessarily know, because I think the Big 12 stinks.
Hey, Oklahoma would be the best win on Notre Dame's schedule. If Oklahoma was on Notre Dame's schedule and they won, that'd be your best win.
Correct. And I think to a point, Wisconsin should still be up there as their other win. Considering how much
Wisconsin
better they got.
Well, is a really good win, but Oklahoma's a better win than Wisconsin.
Correct. They would be.
I mean, that's the problem. Notre Dame has a great win over Wisconsin. Oklahoma State has a great win over Oklahoma. It's not Oklahoma's best year. It's not. But It's a better win than any win Notre Dame has. I realize you're trying to claim Toledo. No? Wouldn't it? USC? No?
Yeah, the Toledo thing I'll give you. Because that was bad.
USC?
Yeah, no.
But that was Florida State? No.
At least with those schools minus Florida State, at least recently in their last four games, they've handled their business like they should. Like the College Football Committee wants.
They played a lousy schedule.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Service department that backs it all up. Great sales staff, and your trade-in's never been worth more. It's all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Okay. Remember, I'm always telling you, and with good reason, this is from experience, when you find the guy, you do what you can to keep the guy. So I'm going to throw out three names for you. Gary Gibbs, Howard Schnellenberger, and John Blake. What do they all have in common?
Stability, I guess?
No.
These
are all the coaches that Oklahoma hired between 1989 and 2000 when Bob Stoops was hired. Those were the Oklahoma coaches. Gary Gibbs, Howard Schnellenberger, John Blake. They went through three different guys and got nowhere with any of them. I mean, nowhere. Just because you're Oklahoma doesn't mean you wave the magic wand, you got a guy, and the guy will win. That's not how it works. It's got to be the right person, right time. And this is the first time Oklahoma has had to go out and hire somebody for the job when somebody left them to go someplace else since Joe turned down the Patriots and Chuck Fairbanks left Oklahoma and took the Patriots job instead. And they just elevated Barry Switzer. So we'll see. Riley was making $7.67 million a year at Oklahoma, by the way. All right, so Neil Coulong, how does one explain that Sunday performance?
Explaining Sunday. I don't know. You ever had a situation in which you need to go back to find the worst example of something over 40 years? Because that's the weirdest thing for me. It was maybe halfway through the first quarter. Watching them play, it was honestly like, this is going to be one of the worst games that I've ever seen them play, isn't it? Because they didn't do anything. I mean, you saw it from the opening kickoff, yep, from the first drive, from the first two drives of each team. They got thoroughly beat in every phase of the game. You don't often hear Mike Tomlin speak in such a specific and emphatic way the way he did today. But they stunk up the joint. That's really the only way that you can say it. They were that bad. In fact, I'd argue it was worse than 41-10. They shouldn't have had the seven at the end, and they probably should have given up two more. If the Bengals had kept their foot on the gas, that's what would have happened. And understandably, they're not going to put everything they have on film when they're obviously a playoff contending team and they have the game locked up. It was 34-3 at halftime. You're not going to roll out a whole lot of stuff for other teams to see. It was worse than that score indicated. The play on field, I think this is one of those games that you can look at it and say statistically it definitely looks bad, but there are worse losses in here. Anecdotally, the people that watched it are going to say that they have not seen the Steelers perform worse in every area of the game as they did on Sunday. It was just an embarrassing performance by them.
And I agree with you. I think you could tell the second series of the game. Like, I mean, I don't mean like the Steelers' second series. I mean the second series of the whole game. They were in deep trouble and had no shot.
Yeah, it was it outmatched, I think, is appropriate, to put it mildly. Outmanned, out-schemed, outplayed. They lost everything. Mike said this in the press conference today. Somebody asked him, what's one thing that you can do? What's one word to describe what you can do to fix this? Effort. I mean, really, it's just it didn't look like there was really any. I hate that, okay? Let me go on record as saying I think it's the most cliche, overused concept that fans will put onto a game of football. Well, they weren't trying very hard. These guys are professionals, okay? They're getting paid a lot more money than they will make in the private sector if they don't go out there and bust their butt. It's rare that I would actually say this, but really, it did not look like a very inspired effort from the Steelers. Like, to the point where I remember, I think this happens so often, it's hard to keep the years straight, but I think it was 2013 or 2013. I think it was 2013 or 2012. The Browns were preparing to fire their head coach. I think it was Chudzinski. And I said in the second quarter of that game, as a joke, I think that the Browns have already fired Rob Chudzinski, but the way that the Browns are playing right now, it looks like they all got kicked in the stomach before the game. And he was fired 5 minutes after the game. Apparently, they did know about it, so it explained the level of play on the field. I was half expecting there to be a termination announced following the game. They looked that bad.
Yeah.
It was like it's so out of character for them. At the very least, they'll fight and battle. I mean, you saw it against Los Angeles the previous week. They played terribly in that game as well. They had enough to make enough plays to come back and make it competitive at the end. Still a bad game overall. Cincinnati didn't have anything. There was nothing redeemable about that.
No, there really wasn't in any way, shape, or form. And that's what's so bad about it. You're in the thick of a race right now, and right now you're doing nothing. And that's about where the Steelers are right now. Okay, so, look, they're not going to change quarterbacks, obviously. I mean, Ben gives them, quote, the best chance to win. But, I mean, under normal circumstances, if they had already drafted somebody, wouldn't this be the time to look at Ben and say it's time to sit for a while?
I don't think it matters. You know, this is the running conversation. Ben didn't look good in that game, certainly. Ben was not the worst player on that field. You know, I don't think it was a question of Ben. The interception at the end of the first half, when it was already 27-3 or whatever it was, that didn't look good, obviously. But the game's over by that point anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think changing the quarterback matters, but I will say this. It is more of a 10,000-foot level issue. I don't know this. I'm not reporting this. But I have a really tough time believing Ben Roethlisberger agreed to take a fairly substantial pay cut to play for the Steelers this season without some kind of off-the-record agreement between him, the head coach, and management, that he's not going to be benched if he's healthy.
Right.
If he's able to play, he's going to play. If I'm Ben Roethlisberger right now, they've got this deal in front of me, I'm not signing this unless you give me your word. If I am healthy, I'm going to play. I'm not signing this to sit, okay? If I'm taking less money, I'm going to play every game. Are we okay with that? There's no way I could imagine a scenario in which that type of arrangement was not agreed upon at the beginning of the year. So, no, they're not going to bench Ben.
We've
got two games against the Bengals in which he should have been benched and wasn't. So.
Yeah. I didn't think that for a second, but I just thought I'd throw it out there and at least discuss it.
Well, let's even, propose the idea that Mason Rudolph might not be any better than Ben. I mean, I think we have plenty of evidence to support that theory now as it is. So
yeah.
What difference does it make? I would say this, and everyone's going to say, well, you need to find out what you have. If the Steelers right now do not know what they have in Mason Rudolph after 3.5 seasons, after 10 starts, you've got bigger problems than who's starting in quarterback against Baltimore and what's turning into a throwaway season anyway. I worry much more about that. You better know who Mason Rudolph is. And there isn't a secret. They're not saving something. You know, they're not going to unleash Mason Rudolph on the NFL next season. We know exactly who Mason Rudolph is. Okay, he doesn't need to play. It's not fixing anything to have him play. At the same time, whether you like it or not, they're thinking about the long term of this. They don't want to embarrass maybe the franchise, in my opinion, second best player behind Mean Joe Green. They're not going to have Ben Roethlisberger go out poorly. Okay, that's part of this as well. Look what happened with Terry Bradshaw. That didn't end well. And Terry Bradshaw every December brings it up. It's going to come up here soon. Just watch. You know, for whatever reason, they don't want to have to deal with that, and they shouldn't. I mean, really, what are we saving here? It's not more important than the long term right now. Ben is not performing that badly, or if you think that he is, there are several guys on that team that you need to have the same conversation with. In other words, you need to overhaul your entire roster heading into next week. They're not going to do that. They're going to do it probably in the offseason, but they're not going to do it right now.
Well, the big money guy, of course, is Double D himself, direct deposit. That's T.J. Watt, who is not going to play this weekend. But the check clears tomorrow, by the way, I should point out. I thought the one hit he put on Burrow was really impressive. That was the block where he threw him to the ground. I don't even think they shook hands on the handshake line, because, I mean, that would mean Watt would get close to him.
You don't want that. I enjoyed how big of a deal they made that out to be. Joe Burrow, if you're a quarterback, and this really comes down to how you want to look on camera more than anything, and I'm sure Joe Burrow is thinking exactly that. He's a product of this generation. He can't just lay down at the ground, which is probably what he would rather do,
right,
given the circumstances of the game. And you're also facing the guy on the field that is probably the most upset with what's going on, considering Watt was maybe 50%. He wasn't anywhere close to ready to play in that game.
Right.
That's how badly they needed him. You know, it's good to know that he's probably not going to play this weekend either. But Burrow hadn't. I don't think Watt got close enough to Burrow in two games to really even say anything to him at that point. But Watt is going to make sure there's some contact with the quarterback, to a point where he's not even blocking him. He's just ragdolling him around. I mean, it's a kid brother thing. He wants to make sure people know he wasn't the one not trying today. He's going to put effort in. Burrow is just like, dude, come on. Let me go, okay?
Yeah.
You're not doing anything. You know you can't slam me to the ground. What are we doing? We're dancing here. But, yeah, that was Watt's highlight play for sure. That was a great game.
Yeah, another fabulous effort turned in. But that's okay. I'm sure on PFF he graded out with 1,000. So, I mean, it's like, oh, okay. Right. Okay.
This will be his third game missed, right? Is that where we're at now?
Yep, third game missed. Aaron Donald probably got a 1,000, and I don't even think. I mean, I think at one point after the game, Aaron Rodgers walked past him. All right, so it's like, okay, so now they got Baltimore, which you got a quarterback in Baltimore that nobody gets a clean hit on. Is a magician as a runner, but has 15 touchdowns and 12 picks. So how do you view this game?
This game is so crazy to me for a variety of different ways. Baltimore is at a point for me that I wouldn't bet on or against Baltimore, because you have no idea what version of Baltimore is going to show up. And the weird thing is, I don't know how many teams in the league have played bad games as often as Baltimore has.
Yeah.
And for them to be where they are in the record, in the standings, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, somebody made a great point to me in social media about that. The Steelers were the same way last year. It's like, yeah, I can see that, but the Steelers played really well at the beginning of the season. Ben hurt his knee against Dallas and things kind of went downhill, accelerated to its highest point at the end of the year. But Baltimore, they don't play full good games they really don't.
There's
always a massive problem with a Ravens game. They won a game with a quarterback who threw four interceptions. One of them was tipped. Three of them were maybe the worst throws I've seen all year, next to Ben and the pick six to Mike Hilton on Sunday. Yeah. Jackson was out of sorts. That's the second game in a row he's looked lost as a passer.
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen with that. Yeah, he can run around, he can make plays and everything like that, but they picked him off four times and managed to lose the game somehow. But I would argue this. You're right. Jackson doesn't take big hits from people very often. John Johnson got him twice for the Browns that I saw.
He did.
Tagged him good, and he picked him off. I think there's more and more that you're able to dissect of the Ravens this year that is leading them to really make things hard for Jackson. And he just doesn't seem to have any help beyond Mark Andrews making circus plays down the field. They're not in sync at all offensively. So I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. It could be 50-3 Baltimore. It could be 6-3 Pittsburgh. I don't know. But, all bets are off when it comes to these teams anyway. I'm sure it'll be kind of competitive somehow. But I could see both teams playing very poorly in this game and having it be pretty ugly overall. I don't know who's going to win, though. I really don't. Probably Baltimore, because I'm certainly not going to bet on Pittsburgh.
I have to ask you about Mark Andrews. When he came out of Oklahoma, I thought, all right, he'll be a good NFL tight end. He'll be a good NFL tight end. He's way better than I thought he'd be in this league. What do you think of him?
He's gotten, I think, far less respect and credit for as good of a player he is as anybody in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think the broadcasters highlighted this Sunday night in particular. Mark Andrews, it was a great replay. You see him, the one that he caught with one arm when he was going down.
Yeah.
Andrews sized the ball up. He saw exactly where it was coming as he was falling backwards. His eyes were on the ball. He already had his arm cradled. He knew how he was going to make that play when he was getting drugged down, and he came up with that. And both Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth are going crazy, as they should. It was a great play.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, they say, and look at the catch by Andrews. Here's the thing. Andrews gets so little credit because of the everything that Lamar Jackson is doing behind the line of scrimmage, at the line, whatever it is. I don't want to dismiss that. But that catch, which I think they eventually, probably for the sake of stats, they called it a catch instead of accepting the penalty, which I believe Baltimore initially had done.
Right.
Give him credit for that catch. The touchdown that Andrews had, that ball was 7 yards in front of him. Jackson running around and frustrating Jadeveon Clowney, we heard about that 17 times during the game. I'm not taking anything away from that. It was a great football play. Jackson's throw was nowhere near the receiver, nowhere near him. Andrews had to stop, turn direction, and then run forward to make that catch. It was an incredible play. Incredible. He got zero credit for that. I don't get it. He's right up there with Travis Kelce. I don't see any reason why he doesn't get the recognition and the credit that he deserves. He's a pretty good blocker, too.
Yes.
But he is their only reliable receiver. And the fact that they are winning the way that they are, everyone puts it on to Lamar Jackson, who, again, is a fantastic player. He's not having a very good year. I don't, he destroyed the Colts. That was fun to watch. He ripped them apart. But he's played really poorly since that game. And Sunday night in particular, Andrews was the guy who kept him going more than anything. And he had to turn into Superman in order for them to get the little offense that they did get in that game.
I turned off Monday Night Football last night early, and here's the reason why. There was a play to one of the running backs laying on the ground. Okay, catches the ball, and they said, well, he was already down. He was on the ground. This is the National freaking Football League. This is not college football. He's not down. I said, that's it. Off. I couldn't watch anymore. That was it. As soon as he made that statement, I said, you don't know what you're watching. You're just talking to talk.
We're waiting for the point that the NFL gives directions to the officials to start emphasizing the rules that are already in place. Not worry so much about taunting. they're right on those calls, you know, right as in they're on top of it. They're watching it for sure. We can see that they are emphasizing that. But that play was just like, what are you doing?
I mean, yeah, but why is he saying that? That's not the rule.
Yeah, it's there's a general lack of clarity on rules until they become controversial. And it's not going to just because the weight of the game last night was nothing, but it's a blown call. I mean, clearly an obvious blown call if you understand the rule.
Yeah, but it's also blown by the announcers, too. That's not the
right.
That's not the rule.
Don't know the difference between the two because that's what they're watching. And generally speaking, they're kind of, you know, sort of coerced into not ripping the officials while they're there. Some of them do. You have to kind of watch the lower end regional guys, the ones that really do it. LeVar Arrington rips into officials pretty good. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
But by and large, officiating, it's an extremely difficult job. Nobody says that it isn't. But between broadcasters incorrectly interpreting the rule and the official on the microphone not clearly stating what rule it is that was triggered in that particular case, it creates a level of misinformation that spreads throughout the league, and that fuels the issue that we have on a game-to-game basis.
All right, Neil Coulong, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, more coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Another busy day today. Another day of on-air therapy for Matt.
Correct.
I mean, my goodness. Does anybody show up to work with more anger?
That's a good question.
It's just sports. It's all right. It's okay. It could be worse. You could be going to the holiday party and bring your own mustard.
I have confirmed Mertzi is going, and she said she'll bring bowlers if you can come.
Well, that's a dynamite combination right there. I may bring mustard.